the wisdom of judging yourself before you judge others. Part 3, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 559, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 926, since January the 1st, 2016. Jesus said, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" Jesus calls people like this a hypocrite. "You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Holy Father God, we understand today that we do not have the strength and the might to do what we're doing. For your holy word makes it very clear to us that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word reminding us of that. And so we pray that you would have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us as we individually and collectively confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for those of us who are saved, for those of us who are born again, for those of us who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, fill us afresh and anew with your energy, your anointing, your unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Save those, Lord, who are lost, and revive those who are saved, even among us. For we are in a fierce battle with the devil, because he wants us to stop praying. He wants us to stop encouraging other people to pray. He wants us to stop proclaiming the gospel. He wants us to stop encouraging other saints to proclaim the gospel. He wants us to stop passing out gospel literature. He wants us to stop praying for thousands of individuals who send in their prayer requests. A thousand other things that you've done through this ministry and that you're doing, he wants stopped. Some things out there permanently that even the devil can't stop. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you have strategically done through this ministry, and how people are being fed your holy word and having the privilege of the gospel being preached to them in multiple ways, thousands of ways, in over 100 languages. And we thank you for one person on our staff who is making sure the languages are done, and I pray that others would follow her example. And we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. cast out the devil, cast out the demons of hell and the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness out of the hearts and lives of those people who have that issue. Help them to understand very clearly that you will bring them into judgment, that they are not doing you a favor, and that you will deal with them for trying to hinder your work. Open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and truly save their souls. For you have said in your holy word, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, someone once said, the faults we see in another may very well be the reflection of our own faults. And I believe that oftentimes that is the case. People who like to judge others normally have a similar evil in their lives, or a greater evil that they're trying to hide, and they use judging others to hide their own sin. They use judging others to appear better than others. From the Lord's teaching in this passage, we have learned that the route to fair judgment of others, if that is even necessary, begins with us taking a hard look at ourselves. For we are not qualified to judge someone else's sin or anything else about another person unless we have acknowledged and dealt with our own sin. Jesus doesn't say never judge someone else. What he does say is first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Many husbands need to hear this today. Many wives need to hear this today. For so many marriages are caught up in judging one another. There are people, many siblings need to hear this today. Everybody else is wrong and you're always right. I'm reminded of the young lady who was in a pastor's family, and she's always the one criticizing and shaking her head at others, always in other people's business, claiming to be trying to fix their business, but come to find out she does not have her business straight. Her life is all jacked up. Yeah, there's always a family member like that. Always judging others and criticizing others and blowing and shaking their heads at others. And they are sneakily doing evil that they think nobody else knows about. It is much harder to look at ourselves in the mirror than one might assume. We tend to ignore our own faults and our sins, our own constant failures and flaws. We excuse and justify ourselves so well. We are the master justifiers of our own failures and sins and evil and stinkiness and nastiness. We always have a reason for our nastiness, don't we? We always have a reason for our stink. that we can't smell. We always have a reason why we did such and such, but as soon as somebody else does it, we lay the boom down on them and we judge them. Slap to hell. It is easy to see the destructive effects of sin in the lives of others. But we are blinded oftentimes to the consequences of our own evil ways, our own sinful ways, our erroneous ways. Isn't it amazing how the mother criticizes her daughter for getting involved sexually with a boy at the school, but she's involved with Deacon Jones at the church? Isn't it amazing how the father judges his son, who shows normal interest in girls, but yet he has a girlfriend on the side? Isn't it amazing how the pastor comes down hard on one of the men in the church for being involved with another woman besides his wife, and yet he has three or four girlfriends that same man knows about, because one of those women is his own wife? The pastor can justify his, the father can justify his, the mother can justify hers, the older sibling can justify his or hers. But they lay the boom down on others. And Dr. John MacArthur said, "Do you know why most Christians are most commonly defeated by sin?" He said, "It is because their sin has so totally deceived them." We're going to deal with this later, but the Lord talks about something that the Old Testament talks about as well. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Do you not know there are some people that I just mentioned that if you go to them to try to help them and correct them, even though they have judged you, they will curse and swear and deny the evil that they're accused of. They will not only will they not do what you're telling them, they won't even hear it. These are called in the Bible stiff-necked people, stubborn people, rebellious people, people who will not listen. The Bible calls them fools. And in the book of Proverbs, the Bible tells us repeatedly, don't try to tell a foolish person something, lest you get a bruise of some kind. There are many foolish acting people in the world. And so it is best for you oftentimes to get your own life together and not be a fool, instead of going and trying to get the mote out of a fool's eyes. There are some people you need to just leave alone, because they will not listen to what you're telling them. They will not even hear what you're telling them. When you try to tell them something, they start talking real fast. They are foolish in their behavior. So some people, you don't even need to try to go get the mote out of their eye. Just let the mote stay. And you just focus on yourself. And you do what God wants you to do. Amen, somebody. It's sad, but it's true. You would think that once you have gotten the beam out of your own eye and you're honest about it and you're transparent about it, that they would receive your help. That they would want the help. That they would appreciate the help. You can recognize very quickly these people because they stiffen up very quickly when you try to tell them something to help them in a blind spot in their lives. MacArthur said it is because their sin has so totally deceived them that they never really get to the point where they honestly evaluate its reality. They are not dealing with the issue. They spend so much of their lives justifying their sin as a personality quirk. And this is so tragic. And some counselors and some psychologists have hurt some people, changing what their sin into something else, a little quirk, or a product of their environment. They sugarcoat their habitual sins as simply idiosyncrasies. We love all word people love that word right there. We love it. We love that word, idiosyncrasies. idiosyncrasies. Our little individual mess, which is nothing but sin most times. Our idiosyncrasies of individuality, or some prenatal predilection that their mother had, or their father had, or great-grandmother had, or whatever. But when you read the Bible, God talks about not idiosyncrasies, not something that mama had, but sin that we have. Amen, somebody. But we wax eloquent about our sin, don't we? It's a little old thing. We dismiss it. We call it little white lies. Why are you getting so upset? It's just a little white lie. Have you ever heard of a little white lie? No, I have, but it's not a little white lie. It's a big, nasty, stinking, ugly black lie, if you will. And no, I'm not a racist. People can become so good at denying the reality of sin that they don't even see it. They're blinded to their own sins, which is destroying their lives, which is destroying their marriages, which is destroying their family and their church. As a result, they don't deal with it because they don't even recognize it for what it is. And so, beloved, getting rid of the beams in our lives, in our own eyes, is the only way we can be spiritually healthy, and the only way we will be prepared to help others in the body of Christ. You've got to deal with yourself. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. Stop trying to deal with somebody else. My mind keeps going back to this pastor's daughter, who was always concerned about what was going on with her father and her mother, always concerned about what was going on with her sisters and her brother and their children and so forth, always in everybody's business, always got things stirred up and acting so holy and talking about she's going to pray for them and so forth, and all the time she's shacking up. That is amazing to me. And this happens in almost every family and every church. Some of the most wicked people in the family judging everybody else and seen as some type of Joan of Arc saint. Many mothers are this way, unfortunately, in the church. Seen as so holy and so saintly, but behind the scenes, whoring around, but yet so critical of their husband, so critical of their children, behind the scenes, living a lie. And some of you are not going to like this, but coming out of the South, I don't know why it is, but especially in many black families, and I assume now in many white families as well, lies, generational lies. You talk about generational sins. Generational lies. Focus over here. Leave that alone. Generational lies have been passed down. And it's so bad in some black communities, and don't tell me it's not so, I know because I've experienced it. Folks don't tell the truth about who had sex with who and who had a baby by who, and they hope that the children or the grandchildren will not end up having sex with one of their cousins that they don't know is their cousin, and zip, bam, boom, it happens. And then the auntie who had sex with somebody she had no business having sex with, she whispers something to another auntie and says, you know, somebody need to tell little Zeke over there that that's his cousin. Living a lie. There are many wives and mothers this way in the church. They know mess is going on. They have received the lie from the other the previous generation, and they keep it. And some of the biggest keepers of lies are some black women in the church. Now, thank God, believe it or not, in the millennial generation, some of this is stopping, is changing. But there are grandmothers, and don't tell me it's not true, I know it's true. Their grandmothers and mothers, and I've had a family member to tell me there's some things you take to the grave. And this was after I got saved, and something on the inside of me said, no, there's nothing you need to take to the grave. You need to confess your sins and tell the truth and shame the devil and hopefully prevent a whole lot of mess down the road. So, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of self-judgment is to prepare us to serve others. Warren Wiersbe said the purpose of self-judgment is to prepare us to serve others. Christians are obligated to help each other grow in grace. When we do not judge ourselves, we not only hurt ourselves, but we also hurt those to whom we could minister. The Pharisees judged, and let's back up here. The Pharisees judged and criticized others to make themselves look good. But Christians should judge themselves so that they can help others look good. Stop the secret sin. Stop the lying. Stop the shacking up. Stop with the girlfriend on the side. Stop with the boyfriend on the side. Stop purloining. Stop stealing. Stop being a hypocrite. Deal with your own sin so that you can be in a position to help others. And in the true church, dear friend, you cannot fool God and you cannot fool the true saints. So you need to stop trying, including some pastors. Not only does God have your number, Pastor, people in the church have your number. You need to stop deceiving yourself. Stop always pointing your finger at others and go somewhere and deal with your evil and your sin, your hypocrisy, your drug use, your drunkenness, your whoremongering with other women in the church and outside of the church. Stop hoping that the men will understand. Stop hoping that the mothers of the church will remain quiet because they love you so much. Tell the truth on yourself. Judge yourself, and you will not be judged. And guess what? Your people will love you more. Don't wait till you are exposed by a Nathan, by a deacon in your church, as it happened in a church down in Florida not too long ago. A lead pastor, as they call them today, became addicted to pornography so badly that he was looking at pornography on the church computer. And he started having a problem with the computer, and the IT guy, who was a deacon in the church, came by. The pastor wanted him to come by and check out his computer. And the IT guy came by and saw pornography on the computer, whereas the pastor thought he had erased it and got rid of it. For ignorant people who think they can erase their tracks from, you must understand, there are computer geeks who can dig up anything you pull up. And this pastor had to confess his sin before the church, and they fired him. The IT guy was a Nathan. He just knew it was wrong, and he told the other brothers in the ministry there. So, dear friend, hopefully you feel a genuine burden for others in the body of Christ. And once you get the beam out of your own eye, you want to help them as well. However, you can only help others live their best life if you are living your best life in Christ by confessing your sins, repenting of your sins, and forsaking of your sins. And what is sad about this message today, there are many Christians who have already made up their minds that they're not going to confess anything, and they're not going to repent of anything because they don't believe that they're wrong. And that's the reason why, in the words of Leonard Ravenhill, revival tarries. Henry Bosch wrote, "Don't be too hard on the person who sins. For the yardstick you lay on another may someday be used as a measure for you. Oh, be gracious and judge not, my brother." for I am sure there are some who are judging me right now. And one of the dangers of judging others is oftentimes you may not know what is really going on. Some of you may be judging me right now because my left eye is red. And you might be saying, "Oh, the preacher might have been spending a long time at the wine bottle." And that's not the case at all. That is, I'm getting some work done to my right eye. Yeah, right eye. I thought it was my left. And that's the reason why it's red. And I just thought I'd bring that up because sometimes people will judge a situation and they don't even know the facts. So that's one of the reasons why God wants you and I to be careful about judging others and focus on judging ourselves. So this is not a beam in my eye or a mote in my eye. It's a doctor-induced situation. Not that I've heard that, but I know human nature. Be that as it may, my beloved, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a dark place. The Bible says hell is a place of fire and torment. Hell is a place where there's gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place that is forever. Once you go past the gates of hell, you can't come back. There's no second chance. There's no purgatory. That's a lie from the Catholic Church. There's no limbo. That's a lie from the Catholic Church. There's no in-between. That's a lie from the Catholic Church. You cannot pray people out of hell. That's a lie from the Catholic Church. It has no basis in the Word of God. The Bible does not teach that. And so hell is a sad place and a bad place, but I have some good news for you. Here's how you can avoid the power of sin and the punishment of sin in your life. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. And he'll take care of the rest. And if you're ready and willing to trust Christ as Savior, if you're doing that right now as I'm preaching, I'll be more than happy to lead you in prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy and grace upon me, a sinner. As I acknowledge that I am a sinner, I have committed sins by choice and by nature, and I have broken your Ten Commandments. For I have lied before, I've stolen things before, I've been dishonest on my taxes before, I have coveted after and lusted after people and things. I have taken your holy name in vain, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit and help me to change. Help me to be honest about my sins and help me to confess them and to repent of them and to turn away from my evil ways and to follow you, Lord Jesus, for the rest of my life. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you are in the world, and you believed in your heart that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for your sins, and he shed his precious blood on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done here today through your holy word, by your Holy Spirit's power. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be a small part of your grand evangelistic enterprise. And we pray that over 3 million souls would hear the gospel through this pulpit alone and to be saved. And you may have already done that by now, I don't know. But Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the privilege to preach your gospel. And we pray for over 3 million Christians to be revived again and to get back to you, their first love. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would pave the way for us for the remainder of this day. Protect us, Lord, from ourselves. Protect us, Lord, from our flesh. Protect us, Lord, from the devil. And protect us all, Lord, from evil people in the church and outside of the church, on jobs and outside of jobs. Lord, surround us with the band of your holy angels for the remainder of this day and for the remainder of our lives. Place upon us the whole arm of God. And the Lord help us all to be forward thinking and to get things done that need to be done that help support this ministry and keep it going. And Lord, we pray that you touch the hearts of thousands to continue to stand with us in their prayers. And also we pray that more would stand with us financially and be a blessing and help in that way. I rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from each one of our lives for the rest of this day. And Lord, have your Holy Spirit to move mightily upon the hearts of those who are lost and who fell under conviction today and did not pray the prayer with me, but can pray the prayer later tonight. Save their souls. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And for his sake, amen. Dear friend, God bless you. Until next time.